not be afraid. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. And you know, I'm going to just minister to you this morning. There's times where you think that you've got your bad part of your life figured out and you're saying, well, I don't have this, so I'm going to end up having to live like this. And I just want to tell you that God has a bigger vision for your life. God has a plan. Whatever you think that your plan is, God has a bigger plan. And not only does he have a plan, but he has every step of yours ordered. He has every step of yours established. He has every bit of, every drop of favor that you're ever going to need. He holds that in the very palm of his hand. And so I encourage you this morning to be a people that live and walk and move and exist in faith. And so he says, I don't even have an heir. And so because of that, my servant is going to be my heir. And then the word of the Lord came to him. And you know what? I'm going to tell you this morning that the word of God, if you will put the word of God into your life, when troubles come, Rocky, when the word's in there, the word will go to the part of your life that's having an issue. The word will go to the infirmity. See, the word, because it is living and because it is active, the word moves. The word goes to the part of your life that's messed up, the part of your life that's broken. The word is a living thing, and it promises that when we put it inside of us, it grows and it becomes the hands and feet of Jesus. And so he says, then the word of the Lord came to him. I pray this morning that the word comes to you. Every part of you, when you're sleeping, I pray that the Word of God comes to you and begins to whisper to you in your sleep and tells you what to do, tells you where to go. And this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And he took him outside and said, look up to the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 6 is very important. Abram believed the Lord. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. There is a blessing from God for simply believing what God has to say about your life. There's a blessing for you for believing that God will do exactly what he said that he will do. There is a blessing in there for that person that says, I'm going to take God at his word, and I know that the things that God has told me that he's going to do, he will surely do them. There is a blessing, a special blessing, just for that person that believes that God's going to do exactly what he said. Go with me now to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 45. This is where Mary and Elizabeth come together. Elizabeth is pregnant. So is Mary. In verse 45, Elizabeth is telling, I'm just going to read it, verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. There's a blessing for you in believing that when God tells you he's going to make a move, there's a blessing for the person that says, God, I'm going to take you at your word. God, I'm going to stand on your word. Lord, it doesn't matter what anybody says, because God, what matters is what you said. And God, you said yes. So the million no's that I've heard, they're irrelevant to my situation. And so, God, I'm going to stand on your word. There is a blessing. The word says, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. this week there were so many God winks. There were so many God moments that were just undeniably the Lord. God hears everything that you say. God hears the things that you don't say. God sees the things in your heart that you just say, oh, I wish this, or oh, I'd like to have this, or oh, God, I just wish this was different over here. All these things. This week I was decorating the church, and I just said, this just all looks bland to me. It all just looks bland, and I would like something else. Now, this may not be important to you, but I'm going to make a point here. God cares about the smallest, little, teeny, tiniest detail of your life. He cares about that. Before I knew it, we were getting a bunch of pumpkins. Hallelujah. Now, these pumpkins are $6.88 a piece. I would not pay that at the store. People are making decisions. They're either going to decorate their house or they're going to feed their family. And guess what they're picking? They're going to feed their family. And guess what? Great. Church looks beautiful. When I saw them come in, I just said, Lord, you hear everything. You hear it all. Last week, Moaning is just one of the most precious people. And she is kind of like my Monday night senior citizen meal babysitter. So I've messed things up in the past with meals and just different things. And I've just had to say, Moni, you're just going to have to fix this. I don't know what we're going to do. Here you go, Moni. And so Moni's kind of like my keeper as far as the cooking. She's going to keep me in between the lines. And I said, Moni, we have cut up so much peppers that we've got peppers just running out of our ears. What are we going to do? And she said, well, we could have, you know, some Philly steak sandwiches or some Philly steaks, you know, something along the Philly steak thing. And she said, but you're going to have some onions. I said, okay, everybody stop. We're going to pray and ask God for onions to come to the church. Jill, didn't I pray that prayer? I stopped and I said, Lord, please send the church some onions. So the elderly can have this meal that we want them to have. You know, when God put that vision inside of my heart, I didn't want to feed them gross food. God had a certain above normal, above standard that he wanted these little elderly people to eat. Well, here come Wednesday. We got not one, but two pallets of onions. People said, Pastor, will you do better next time about praying about the onions? Will you ask them for not so many? Now, don't tell me that God don't hear you, but I'm going to also tell you something. The Word of God says that, you know what, when you ask God for something, you better believe that He will do and that He can do exactly what you're asking Him to do. Because if you're sitting there and you're asking Him for something, and while you're asking, you're not believing, that prayer goes nowhere. You've got to believe what you're asking Him for. You've got to believe that He can do it. Let me tell you something. God can do anything. But you've got to have faith, and you've got to believe God will do what you've asked Him to do. Let me just see here. There's just so many things, but let's go right now to Matthew chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 14. I'm talking to you this morning about faith. You know, God wants your faith, to reach out and to touch someone else. God wants your faith to grow legs, to grow arms, to be His hands, to be His feet. He wants you so full of faith that you're affecting other people's lives just because of your faith. Amen. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before Him. Lord, have mercy on my son. He said he has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. This is Jesus' closest associates could not do that healing. The people that hung out with Jesus. You know, usually when you hang out with somebody, you're going to learn from them. I encourage you to make the people that you are going to be surrounded by, they best be what your life goals are, because if not, you're going to start being like them. And that's why it's so important to be around like-minded people, people that you admire, people that you know are going the right direction. But even the people closest to him, they still could not lay their hands on this boy and see him healed. And so it says, Jesus, "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you?" You know, people are so touchy. If I was to say, "Sherry, how long am I going to have to put up with you?" See, Jesus said it exactly how it is. And the problem with the church, and I'm not saying just this church, but there is some of this in the church, in this church. I'm going to preach where we live. See, Jesus told it what it was, told it how it was and how it was. But the problem is we are living in the last days, and people will not tolerate truth at any level. And because they won't tolerate truth, their lives are turning towards the very pit of hell. Because truth is the only thing that really sets you free. Amen. And it's one of the main things in this generation that my generation and the generations after me, they're not tolerating truth. And so as a pastor, I am concerned that certain things are phasing out because people are not doing the right thing. One of the things that you need to accustom your life to being able to do is hearing truth. Jesus was frustrated with his disciples. He said, "Oh, unbelieving, oh, perverse generation." You know, it's almost a perverse thing, Angel, to have such a good God and not take him at his word. And he said, "How long am I going to have to put up with you?" I guarantee you, if I said that to some people right in this room, they'd be leaving. Let me tell you something. I think it. I just don't say it to you. I was in here the other morning, and I was talking to God about all his kids and how they's getting on my nerves. And it took me an hour to get out of that bad mood that I, not the devil, had gotten myself up into. But it says, "How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy. And he was healed from that moment. From what moment? The very moment that authority, that faith, that Jesus came in there. From that moment, the boy was healed. See, there's certain things in our lives with people up in here today, in my life too. There are certain parts of your life that depend on one single moment, and it's going to change the entire course of your life. And then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he replied, "Because you have so little faith. And I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." For you. I'm asking you to take this personal this morning. That's a promise in the Word of God. I'm going to read that to you one more time, because if I can get you to open up that heart and get this part of the word that's living inside of you, your life is going to change. He replied, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. The truth. See, it does not matter how you feel about your situation. What matters is what God told you about the situation. You're going to feel all different types of ways. You do not need to be motivated and directed by your feelings, because your feelings will steer you the wrong way. You need to be motivated by faith and by the words of God, by what He has told you that He is going to do. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. I'm asking you right now to search your life, to search your heart, to search what you're going through, and ask yourself, am I looking at something like it's impossible? Is there some impossible situations? Because see, the Word says that if you have faith, nothing is impossible for you. There's been something I've been asking God for, and I keep putting it before the Lord. Money could never buy this for me. And I said, God, I'm asking you to do this. And then in the same breath, well, this person would never agree to that. God began to correct me. Kelly, I'm going to ask you to ask me, but you've got to ask me when you believe me. When you believe that I can do what you're asking me to do, that's when you need to ask. Keep on getting the faith. Keep on getting that. You know what? Are you real enough with yourself that you know when you don't got enough faith? How many of you have ever taken your kids to a theme park and they had a certain height that they had to get on that roller coaster? And they wasn't that tall, and you had to tell little Johnny, well, maybe next year or maybe next time, because you're not tall enough yet. See how tall your faith is. See how big it is. Ask God to grow it for you. God can move mountains in your life. He can absolutely move mountains. You need to be able to ask Him and believe it. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read a lot of verses, and I want you to pay attention. I'm going to take a truth meter. How many of you read your Bible every day? Okay. This is not a shame party. If you're not able to, they have those in some churches, Angel. They want to shame you right out of the church. Well, I ain't shaming you out of the church. If I'm going to do anything, I'm going to get you so happy to be in church, you won't come every time the doors are open. I'm going to be honest with you. There's days where I don't read it every day. I want to put a challenge before you. How many of you right here in this moment in time, you say, there's some things that I need from God only He can do? Okay. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. I challenge every person in this building under the sound of my voice. If you're on Facebook, I'm challenging you too. Will you read your Bible every day with your pastor? I'm going to read it every day. How many of you are with me? Will you put that word in you every day? I want to see who's going to take this challenge. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say who was successful with this challenge. Can you read your Bible every day? One more time. Let's show God. See, you're not showing me. I'm not sitting here investigating you because, see, this is your business. All right? But if you're going to do it, you need to raise that hand because, see, God's going to hold you accountable. God wants to move in your life. God wants to make that intervention in your life. He wants you to put that word inside of you so the word will grow and you can believe that what you're asking God to do, that you believe it. When you ask Him to, you say, I know you're going to do it. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to start at verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The thing that you are asking God for, you need to be certain. You need to start to see it. You need to ask God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to help me to begin to see that thing manifest right here in the physical realm. I remember when I was trying to get pregnant with Carson Paul, I had a lot of trouble, and I would, for months, almost a year, could not have a baby. That's all I wanted. Look here. There ain't nothing that I love quite like I love my children. And I began to ask God, and I began to ask Him, and I began to give Him every reason that He could trust me with them. And I had a little St. Louis Cardinal hat, and I would go into the nursery, Melissa, that I already had made before the baby was ever there, and I had a little hat, and I would go into that room, and I would just begin to sob, and I would say, God, if you'll just do what I've asked you to do. You know, you need to get that heavy heart over what you're asking God to do for you. I'm here to tell you this morning that God was faithful. God began to tell me, Kelly, throw away all those pregnancy tests with them lines. Because I wanted to be pregnant so bad that I would see them lines and they wouldn't be there. And I got the idiot-proof pregnancy test, the ones that just said pregnant. And they were, in that day and time, they were about $20 a pop. And I was on a very tight budget. And month after month, I would take these tests and nothing. But I began to, when I would see not pregnant, here's what I did every month. I would raise my hands on the toilet. You know what? You need to get serious about your life. It doesn't really matter where you are. And I would say, God, I thank you that the next time that I take one of these tests, I'm going to see pregnant like I've asked of you. Well, he's 13 years old. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. See, at just the very command, the universe was formed. Don't tell me that your words don't matter. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did, and by faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death, so he could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Verse 6 is very important for your life. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. How many of you are just searching out to make God mad at you? None of us are. How many of you say, I'd like to please God? And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. The righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. I'm going to read that one more time. If you're one of these people and you got a real short attention span and I'm reading lots of verses and I already lost you, we need to go back to that because that's important for your life. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went. He obeyed and he went. Even though he did not know where he was going. See, there's going to be times God tells you to move in a direction and you don't know where you're going, but you're going to trust God because you got faith that God's going to take you to somewhere that's going to be a blessing for you and everyone around you. See, by faith, he moved. He moved out of obedience to a place he did not know. And that did not intimidate him. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like strangers in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him to the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Whose architect and builder is God. Most of this ministry, if not all of it, was established by faith. Dad, my mother, Casey, when she was a toddler, moved down here by faith. By faith. God has kept us all these years because of that faith. Because of that faith, there has been a lot of opposition. There has been a lot of trouble. There has been a lot of critics, a lot of people that wanted to do this ministry harm, as is every ministry that God ordains. Look here, everything that God ordains and everything that God wants, people in forces of the devil are going to try to come against something that God ordained, of course. I'm asking you to believe what God has said and to have that faith. When it came right down to it, the Manna Center, I told God I wanted a specific architect. And then I began to think and to meditate on that. And I said, God, I stand corrected. I want what you want. I can't see everything about this man that I want. But God, you can see everything about everybody's name that's in the pool. God, give us your architect. Give us your builder. We did not get the person that I wanted, but you know what? We got who God wanted. That man did things for us that he didn't even get paid for. I walked out of a city hall meeting one evening and I told God, I said, God, I don't know how you're going to do the Manna Center because, you know, this pandemic has really turned everything upside down. I said, you're going to have to do it. It was your idea anyways, and I'm not going to take ownership of the stress that it would come to bring this about. That building is there make no doubt, God ordained that building to be there years, decades before one brick was laid. Before one little piece of the concrete was poured, Bobby, God ordained it. How much more are the important things in your soul that you've asked God for? By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled. See, God's not in it to disable you, but you know what? You best believe what he's going to tell you. It don't matter if you're 100 and he's saying you're going to have a baby. Just begin to pick out the nursery color. Was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Do you consider God faithful today? I'm going to drop down to verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. Go with me to verse 15. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. There are times with your faith that's what's messing you up is you're still looking at what you think that you lost or you left. And it's messing with your faith. There are things that you done left. What does the word say? If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. You need to forget about what's gone on in your past and move forward with what God has for your life. When you want to look back and recount whatever it is that you think that you lost, stop counting that. God's already got that record. Amen? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. The whole book, the whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is about faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. There are some times that your faith is going to make you choose something that's going to cause you to make a sacrifice. There's times where your faith is going to make you suffer just a little bit. Look here, it's like I preached to you last Sunday. Can you suffer for Christ some? Can you sacrifice for Jesus? Can you lose your life to Him? What does the Word say? Whoever's trying to keep their life, they're losing it. But whoever gives their life, I'm going to look back at some of my notes because I wrote down several things that God has done. The other day. Now this is all going to seem very minuscule to you. Make no joke, I'm believing God for bigger things. But I'm pinpointing this morning, God can do whatever He wants to do. And He wants to bless you. I told the Lord, here's what I've started to know, Aunt Patty. I'm getting older. I'm going to turn 40 the next birthday. And what I have noticed is I'm getting some wrinkles. I never thought that would happen. But I'm getting them. I'm getting them right here, and I'm getting them under here. And I noticed these more and more. And I've always been told you need to take your makeup off before you go to bed. Well, I ain't done that all these years. Well, I've started. I'm going to try to keep these wrinkles to a minimum as long as I can. Now, if you're up here being judgmental at me, you need to get over yourself. I'm just telling you what my little self is doing. And I was talking to God about the wrinkles, okay? He's been wrinkled for years. And I told God, I said, God, I really need some makeup wipes. I need them. Can I go buy them? Yeah. But let me tell you something. After I've worked and pastored 7 days a week, I don't feel like going into no more public places. So, we get a box in at the church. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Johnny, right on the top, when I opened this box, the exact brand of makeup wipes I've been buying. Now, I don't expect you to be near as excited about them things than I was. But what am I trying to say to you? God truly, truly cares about you. How many of you've got children? I've got two boys, and I love them dearly. And Barbara, I'm always thinking about what I can get them, what they may like. God is too. God is too. A while back, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I think that the church needs a toilet holder, toilet paper holder. You know, one of them things that you can stack a couple rolls of toilet paper on. Us women, we like to use a lot of toilet paper, and so I want there to be a pretty holder for them. Now, once again, can the church afford to go buy one of those? Yes, we can. That's not going to keep me from asking God to give us one. I mean, once again, we got a load of stuff. Johnny, right there, very top, once again. It's in the back, girls. It's been there for several months now. Toilet paper roll holder. When I look and think about why is God allowing me to notice these, you know, I'm like a squirrel, and it takes me a long time to really notice a pattern in something because I'm busy. But God's been ministering to me. He said, you know, Kelly, I want you to ask me for that big thing that you want. Ask me. Church, I'm asking you to ask him. This week, how many of you know that working in healthcare is very difficult? It's a very stressful, stressful job, and it's never done. Anything in healthcare is never done. I know this because I was in healthcare for 15 years. The job is never done, is it, Penny? It's just always. I said, Lord, I'd like to have something nice at some point to give Mercy Clinic right over here. Well, once again, God sent us 15 $25 a piece, gorgeous, big, full bouquets of flowers. $400 worth of flowers cost us $0. Why did God send those our way? Because he knows that little blonde pastor is going to ask me to give her something so she can bless somebody else. I didn't keep any of them bouquets for myself. I'm too busy to even sit and enjoy flowers most of the time. I had Tyler help me to get them loaded up. We took them over there, and that was the highlight of their whole week. I'm asking you to ask God. Have faith in Him. Have faith in Him. Are you getting tired of me bragging about God yet? Okay. Well, good, because I'm going to keep going. I'm trying to get you to understand what a good God that you got. How many of you, probably nobody notices things about this church quite like I do because I'm responsible for it, but how many of you, when you come in through this door, you saw, they're not there anymore, some very bad, ugly stains there when you came in? Did y'all all see those? I don't like God's house being stained up and ugly. I ain't into that. For 3 or 4 weeks, I've came in here and looked at that. And every time I open the church up and get ready for a service, I'm irritated because I have 3 big stains right when you walk in. And I don't like stained stuff. And I certainly don't like God's house to look ugly. Now look, make no mistake. You are the church. But we're going to have a pretty building to go to. Well, one day, in passing this ugly stains that we had, I said, God, please help me to run into, and I called out His name. How many of you were here on Wednesday? You know exactly what I'm talking about. I called out His name. Help me to run into Him so He can help the church. The third to the last car on Wednesday at the food distribution rolls up. It was Him with the trailer that has all of the equipment to get this ugly stain up out of this church. Sherry, I said, Sherry, stop him. I want to talk to him. Sherry goes, will you pull up? Pastor Kelly wants to talk to you. And I got right up in his window. Excuse me? I've got a problem. There's a terrible stain in the church, and it's really bothering me. Do you think at some point, maybe over the next couple of months, you can come and you could look at this stain for me and see if there's anything that you can do? I've tried everything. I've been there on my hands and knees multiple times, had volunteers doing it multiple times. It's not lifting, and it's bothering me. He said, well, you know what, Pastor Kelly? I'm going to stop right now, and I'm just going to look at it right now. And he came in. He said, I don't know if I can get it up, but I'm going to try to get it up. I said, okay, well, when do you want to come? He's like, I'm here right now. He backs his trailer up, gets out all that expensive equipment, and he just did it. Don't tell me God don't know the every fold of your heart. He knows it. He's just saying, will you just please ask me? Why? Because you have not because you ask not. Will you say, well, God's such a good God. Yeah, He is. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to ask Him. Sat there with Him for about 30 minutes. He scrubbed and He scrubbed and He scrubbed. He did all sorts of things. Got His expensive spray out. Did all this stuff. He said, I believe I've got it. And I said, okay, I believe I want to get you a better food box. Well, I don't keep the church finances on me. I did a shirt order. and I had a $100 bill that I had just gotten for a set of shirts that I had done. And God began to speak to me, and he said, Kelly, you're going to give this person that $100 bill, and they need to take that. Don't be one of these cheapo people and God tell you to do something and you've got to have God ask you three times at a certain time just to get you to cough up your money. No, make no mistake. God wants everything that you got, everything that you have. He gave it to you. Don't be cheap with the Lord and don't be a God robber. And I said, okay. And I thought, well, you know, I can get reimbursed from the church. And then God said, no, that seed directly from you. The church ain't reimbursing you. You're going to pay because you're building my house because I'm going to build yours. Sow some seed. Mary, I chased that guy around this church trying to get him to take that $100 bill. He did not want to do it. I asked him about 10 times, did I not, Sherry? And my heart was getting heavy. I thought, how am I going to get this guy to take this money? He doesn't want to do it. He wants to do this for the church. But God is telling me that he's taking this money. And I finally just looked and I said, I know that you're not going to understand this, but it's very important to me that you take this. There's things that God's going to tell you to do and you're going to have to just do them by faith. There's times where God's going to tell you to do something and you're not even going to have an explanation as to why he's wanting you to do it. Let me tell you something. You don't need an explanation. Last place for me this morning. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Verse 22, have faith in God. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Look here, what you're asking God for, there's no room for doubt. There is no room for doubt and unbelief. That thing that you're asking God to do, it is so big and it is so important in your life. When you're asking him, if there is 1 ounce of doubt, you need to pray that doubt out. You need to take authority over the doubt. When you pray and you feel the doubt, you need to say, God, in Jesus' name, even as I'm praying this prayer, that doubt is trying to come into my heart. So, Lord, right now, I take authority over the doubt. Go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen. It will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you that whatever you ask for in prayer, see, whatever you ask for in prayer, don't tell me God don't want you praying on a constant, consistent basis, that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Probably the most important part of this verse, verse 25, and when you stand praying. I'm going to ask you to stand up right now. I'm going to ask you to get a good vision of the thing that you're asking God for, that nobody can do for you, that money can't buy you. Only God can do it. And you know that. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, right here in this moment in time. God is searching hearts. I encourage you to begin to search your heart. Is there somebody that you need to forgive and open up and release them out of unforgiveness? Because if not, that is affecting your prayer life. That is affecting your answered prayer. I didn't say it. The Word says it. Therefore, I tell you that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. I challenge each one of you that raised your hand, read the Word of God every day for the next 7 days. It don't have to be. It can be as little as short as God directs you. I believe that as you do that, God is showing up in ways that you did not expect in your life this week. I'm going to pray, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak faith into every person, into every circumstance, into every medical record right now, into every bank statement. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I speak to faith and I tell it to increase. God, as we as your children, as we get into the Word and the Word gets into us, Lord, I thank you that you are showing up and you are showing out in a big way. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all come to service tonight at 5:30. We can't wait to see you. There is food back here. It is already set up for you.